home again. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, downtown on Washington Avenue or on Manchester Road, just west of 270.
Monday through Thursday from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m., it's the Hard Line.
So you're saying at least you have competent pitching. Maybe not great,
a core,
but
a core of competency.
Right.
Can we agree with that?
Core competency.
A core of competency.
I like it.
In today's baseball, let me put in a little codicil of that.
Good codicil.
Wait a minute.
And the Cardinals just happen to do it every year.
I don't know. He said somewhere on tour or 4 or 5.
Well, how do you interpret that? A what-sickle?
Codicil.
Codicil.
It's only here on 590 The Fan.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
That Magnum P.I.
It was.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet. On the side of the street.
Oh, wow. Look at this. It's Monday already.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you?
Great. How are
I'm
you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Fine.
I was talking to the audience.
Oh.
Of course, they can't answer. Maybe they are answering in their cars. I can't hear them. I hope everybody's okay. A little steamy, a little hot, but that's okay. It is dry and blue and overall a pretty good day. We're glad you're with us. We're going to have a good time today. Got a joke I've only told once since I've been here. We've been here almost 2 years, so I was able to push it off until I got an email this weekend from somebody who said, it's just been too long. I have to hear that joke again. So that's a joke I'll tell today. And you'll know what it is later. Of course, you have to wait till about 5:30. So it is the 5th of August. Another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June. Another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Okay, I'm going to find a way to remember. It's the 3rd of June, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to find a way to remember that. So let's start like this. Something different. Does anybody have anything to say? Oh, wait, that's what we always do.
Right. Oh, yeah. No,
come on, it's been a weekend.
Yeah, I do.
All right. With not much enthusiasm.
Yes, I do.
And a little hint of maybe this is not going to be something good that happened or exciting or happy. I don't know.
He almost
know.
Had a melancholy.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, melancholy. Yeah. What does that mean, yeah, really?
I think
and why like melon and a fruit and a dog? A melon and a why are those together? You know, who made that word? See, bittersweet makes sense.
Right.
Bittersweet, a little of each. Melancholy? I don't know. But here with a melancholy contribution, Tim Woodburn, everybody. Thanks, welcome.
One quick thing, and then I have a question for all of you.
All right. Well, I probably have an answer.
The quick thing is when Limey inserted the Magnum PI.
One second. I'm on some medication, and my mouth is really dry. So
you sound a little nasally today.
I have it's an allergy, some kind of it hit me the weekend, something in the air, and so I have to drink a lot because my mouth is real dry, like cotton, you know that feeling?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had Gino, our engineer, come in and install it's called a CLSS, a Crystal Light Slurp Suppressor, because I drink Crystal Light. So I just want to make sure it works, because while Tim's talking, you know, I don't want people distracting. What's that noise? So let me just...
We saw you take a drink. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
Beautiful. Thank you, Gino, once again. And now back to Tim Woodburn.
When Limey played the Magnum P.I. theme song, it reminded me...
Of the size condoms you wear?
Mm-hmm. And B, it reminded me of something that David Solomon said to me over in the intern room right before we went on the air. When we were discussing the fact that he's single, and very similar to,
hold on just a minute. What did that mean?
What?
He said he's single, and you said shocking.
Oh no, I was looking. I saw something online.
No, that sounded like a shot at David.
Absolutely, did it to you? Not. Absolutely, just miscommunication. It was like, you know, different conversations taking place at one point.
Sound
okay,
it didn't sound like a shot. It was a shot.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
He said a line actually that I think is actually pretty funny. And he said, the reason why I'm single is because I'm so good looking, people just automatically think I'm taken.
Well, let me tell you something. We've all heard about the studies where hot women don't get dates because guys just assume. Mm-hmm. It's like the pretty girl in high school who doesn't get asked to the prom, and she's the cutest girl in high school because every guy just assumed, somebody's already asked her.
Right.
Same thing.
Right.
David, he may be on to something.
Tom Selleck was a handsome guy. You know, he got the babes in Magnum P.I. The babes are all over him, and it just kind of reminded me of that, so I was glad that Limey played that. The question I have for the three of you relates to the lead story I had in the news today, which is 47-year-old, father of two, soon to be father of three next month, Steve Stenger, is going to prison for at least 3 years this Friday.
Okay.
And I'm curious, because I have my own answer to this, but I'm curious if anybody on this show was getting ready to go to prison for 3 years on Friday, what would you be doing this week as your last week of freedom?
Oh, wow.
I would be...
Wow.
Trying somehow to block up my rectal cavity.
Oh, anyway. I'd be eating a lot of glass. A lot of glass.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Glass and nails, because that way when it passes through you, it just collects in your, like, you know, in your
so
anus.
Anybody that tried to get in there.
Hey, it's safe. Ooh. You know, it's like a little security system.
So, see, we're both thinking the same thing. All I could be thinking about is, oh my God, hoping to get raped in prison. I'm curious, but that it happens. So, that is a great question because. And I thought about this like death row when they say, what's your final meal? Who cares? I can't eat. My stomach is upset. I'm going to die. So what would we be doing now if we have to report to prison Friday? That is a great question, and I have no idea.
I would be hitting up every single girl that I know.
He's married.
And just be like, no, I mean, if I was in that situation, I would like, hey, look, I'm going to prison for 4 years. Want to have sex?
Oh, yeah, that attracts women. Like, I'm going to prison. Yeah, that'll get them.
It's not like you got time to waste around. Like, you got a week before you go to jail. I would be having sex with every single girl I could, like,
how many women do you think would want to have sex with you once you said I'm going to prison? That's kind of a turnoff, I think.
I think I know a couple of girls that are real
what
idiots.
If you changed it to, I just found out I'm terminally ill. I just found out I have 2 weeks, and I know this is a lot to ask. I think a lot of girls
that I know would be like, man, if he's dying in 2 weeks, why not?
And when they found out you lied, what are they going to do to you? You're in prison. They can't even get to you. You might want to rethink that. Because I don't think telling me you're going to prison would be such a...
So essentially...
I'd lie then.
Your answer is you would dedicate this week to...
Having sex with women.
Sexual excess.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dan? That's it?
Absolutely.
That's it?
Go to prison for 4 years. You can get everything else you need in prison. Just...
I think I would sit down at the computer and just start writing every thought, everything I wanted them to remember. No, what are you laughing at?
Well, are you going to die in prison or something?
No, but I'm 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. That's a long time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All the things that I want them to be sure they remember to do while I'm gone.
Oh,
and things that I want them to remember my thoughts before I go. And
don't forget
what
to take the trash out.
Wish for them. And I... That is such a tough one.
How?
I guess getting affairs in order. If that's those are the right words.
I would think, yeah,
that's a given. Yeah. You know, getting your affairs. He's got a wife. I'm sure she can.
Depending on what you did, you'd write a massive apology to your family. You just would. Right. Sometimes in writing.
Ooh. She has a child on the way, and he's going to present for you?
Next month.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough
next one. Month, the baby's due? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
He's going to be paying
so,
for that.
So the baby's due the same time he's supposed to check in. Oh. How about that? He goes in and next day has a new child.
Well, and then his other kids are 5 and 2, I believe. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going
to
be...
No, well, you're going to have to explain it, especially the 5-year-old, or 3 years.
I don't think a 5-year-old would really understand.
No.
It's like daddy's going away.
Where's daddy? Daddy's going to be gone for 3 years.
Yeah, right.
And when daddy gets out and the kid's 8, then that's when you have to go, well, here, this is your daddy. I don't know if you remember him or not. Yeah. And explain the whole thing. That's the whole, everything about it is
daddy
rough.
Daddy made some bad decisions.
I'm surprised at your guys. Oh, Dan, what's your answer?
I would take as much money as I had or I could and put it into an account in the prison for me. And so I had money to spend in the prison because...
Can you do that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if you can do it ahead of time.
You can do it beforehand, account. But you can have a commissary account.
Yeah.
Can people put money in your commissary? Oh, yeah. And can you have a lot of money? Like,
I'm not sure if there's a max. I've put money in prisoners' accounts before.
Oh, really?
There's a website by which you do it, and they take a fee, of course.
And what can they buy with it?
Well,
candy, cigarettes.
I don't think that's the thing. Snacks and stuff.
Oh, that's the thing. Prison commissary, it's like $3 for a bag of like a little bag of Cheetos. It would be like 50 cents a Q-tip. I mean, they charge you out the wazoo.
Really?
For that.
Yeah, because where else you gotta go?
Yeah, right.
What other options you got?
Run down the wall.
There's no competition. You know.
Well, I wonder what that commissary looks like. Do they have milk and bread? I mean, what? Really?
Yeah, and
got little packs of ramen noodles and stuff like that.
And non-edible stuff, too, you know, like shampoo, soap, things like that. I mean, I actually don't know what all they sell, but I do know they sell some high-end razors, you know, high-end things that you know, that are a luxury.
You don't want the other prisoners to know you have a lot in your commissary account.
Because they'll beat you up. And
no.
Buy me this or I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah. See, the thing that's so crazy
or
about...
Or make love to you. I'd rather have the beating.
See, that's where the glass and the nails come in.
Yeah. As a sidebar, I have a very good friend that I went to grade school with, who I'm still friends with to this day, and he went to prison for 30 months. He was up in Cameron, the prison that they're closing down, which is where Michael Devlin, who kidnapped Sean Hornbeck, where he's been ever since he went to prison. Now they're going to have to move him because they're shutting that whole prison down way up in the northwest corner. And one of the things that surprised me when my friend got out of prison, I said, well, how did it go? He goes, prison was a piece of cake. You know, once you realize what the rules are and you just, you know, you resign to being there, you know, you just play by the rules, right. You can get along pretty decently. Because at that prison, they had...
They had a decent
behaved people side, and they had like, you know, the everybody like the people who were in gangs and stuff. They tried to separate who they thought all the troublemakers would be versus the ones that weren't troublemakers. Good. But he said, regardless of what side you're on, the one thing that you kept very closely guarded to yourself when you were in prison was your release date.
Why?
Because prisoners get off on trying to get you to start fights and extend your time when you think you're getting out.
That's like a game.
It's like a game.
See if we can get them to do something bad.
Try and goad you into a fight or place a shank in your room, and then, you know, and you, all of a sudden now you catch an additional charge and you're going to be there even longer. It's mental torture is what it is. Wow. So that's a really closely guard. I that's something I would have never thought of being in prison. But I'll tell you what, Dan, did you finish your answer?
You're going to load up my account and just kind of get...
your account's not established yet. Order. You're not in there yet.
I don't know. I would think you'd be able to take money into jail when you report and they would put that into your account. I would think you could carry some kind of money into jail with your personal belongings and say, put this on my...
And they'll say, sure, we'll put it in there for you.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's $600. Well, yeah, and then you say, "Yeah, you got $40 in your account."
Yeah,
we took a 93% processing fee on your initial deposit.
All right. Well, I have no idea if this is true or not, but somebody just sent us a text over, and if it is true, I'd love to hear more about this story. It says, "My brother's in prison, and if his account, his commissary account, goes over $200, they take it and put it towards his restitution of $13 million."
Wow. Whoa.
Oh, man, that guy.
He has a restitution of $13 million?
Ooh,
wow.
A bank robber.
No kidding.
I have heard stories where these $1.38 an hour jobs that these prisoners, they actually make money
while
they do work in the kitchen or whatever. I have heard stories where prisoners who have to pay restitution, that they take that out of their check. You work a 40-hour work week and you gross $63. I think they still take taxes out of it.
Wow.
And then they take your part of your restitution out of it as well.
Wow.
To triple hammer.
This is weird because I just this weekend watched a movie called The Mustang. It's that movie. It's based on a true story. These prisoners, there's a program where they train and tame wild Mustangs out in Montana and Colorado. And the prisoners learn all about horses, and they break them just like a rodeo cowboy and get them ready for auction. And it was a prison movie. And the whole time we're watching it, I'm telling my wife's there, a couple of friends of ours were there. I just kept saying, see that right there? That's where I never want to go, right there. That I never, ever, I don't know what I would, if how can this guy sleep?
Will he be in federal?
I'm not feeling sorry for him. He's a criminal. But how do you sleep from now till Friday, knowing that's where you're going?
Will he be in a federal prison or regular just Missouri prison?
It'll be a federal prison.
And see, I didn't learn until about a year ago that the bad people are in a state prison. I thought it was just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Ooh, federal, see? That's how it should be worse.
But, I mean, if you're going in and you're like a well or somewhat well-known politician, so people know that you're kind of soft and kind of cushy and you're rich. Oh, yeah. I mean,
you're not a gangster. Yeah.
There was a guy, I forget his name, he was a politician in St. Louis, and he went to federal prison for 1 year and 1 day, and he came out and he wrote a book about it. And it had something to do with him distributing flyers without authorization and committing some type of elections fraud or whatever. He was a little skinny white guy. Yeah. I can't remember his name.
You're right. I know. We had him on the air one time, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing that you guys have not mentioned, and it would be way at the top of my list of what I'd be doing these last 5 days, is I would be taking martial arts or self-defense classes.
I mean,
you know, even though I'm out of shape,
learn some moves.
I would do the best I can. I mean, I would be hell-bent on, because Steve Stenger's a little guy.
Even
a sentencing memo, his wife wrote a letter to the court saying that he'd lost a ton of weight since all this went down.
Well, so no kidding. How about this? Martial arts. And if you could find somebody who'd been in prison, pay them like a consultation fee to prep you.
Yeah.
What do you not do? What's a good thing to do? Who should I not stare at? Should I try to look mean? You know, just a little, somebody was there.
There was a movie like that. Will Ferrell and what's his name?
Yeah, but that was a comedy.
I know. It was.
It had to be if Will Ferrell was in it.
Will Ferrell and, Hart.
Especially if you could find somebody who'd been to that same prison. Because it's kind of like, you know, when you go to school, they go, oh, who'd you get for algebra? Miss Hitchcock? Oh, man, she's horrible. Well, tell me more about her. Same thing. Somebody who went to that prison and goes, watch out for warden number 1640. That guy, don't say this to him. Don't say that. That would be a big help by the thought of it. I'm such a...
Knowing that, well, what about like on Thursday night, you know, walking around your house, being like, okay, I'm not going to see you for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your baby is not even going to really meet you until...
If he wanted to not show up, where's he going to go?
Yeah. Nobody's going to go.
Where's he going to go?
There was an attorney named Eric Kahn who was in cahoots with a dirty judge and...
That's not his name. He changed his last name. He's now an ex-con.
No, he's
see what I did? No, see what I did there? See what I did?
See, that was funny.
Thank you.
He's a current con.
He's in for,
there was an episode about him on American Greed, and he was sentenced to 17 years in prison, 12 years in prison, and so he was out, you know, he had a prison report date. Like, when Stenger gets sentenced on Friday, I don't think, he may not have to go to jail on Friday. Sometimes they give you a prison report date you have to report to prison by.
Right.
And or they may remain him in a custody right away. It's up to the judge. But in this guy's case, he didn't. He was a workman's comp fraud. He was a work comp fraud lawyer, and he was committing fraud.
Right.
He was getting all these judges to rubber stamp all of his clients, made millions. They put a bracelet on his leg, and he went on the run. He cut it off and threw it out the window on a highway.
See, that would be very tempting, but I know they're going to find me. I'm not that good.
So this guy does this. Then he drives all the way to New Mexico. The FBI catches him on a surveillance camera at a gas station. He changes appearance. He shaves his head a whole bit. He somehow got into Mexico, and then he somehow got out of the country. And you know how they found him? They found him And then he was sending emails to a reporter saying, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty. And they kind of were they kind of knew what country he was in because they were tracing all that.
Right.
So they knew that he liked to eat at Pizza Huts. So they conducted surveillance on every Pizza Hut in this country. And sure enough, he walked in there one day with his laptop and they arrested him in a Pizza Hut. Because because that's how they knew that he liked to eat
the
there.
Last places I would go would be the places everybody knew I liked. Like, I would never go to Cracker Barrel if I was on the run. Because I made it pretty clear, I like Cracker Barrel. I'd go to sushi places, places I don't ever regularly go. But
what about the movie? Somebody just called and said, "What about the movie 25th Hour with Edward Norton?"
I never saw it.
I haven't seen it.
I love
either.
Ed Norton. Yeah. I like it. Ralphie Boy.
No, that's not him.
That's different.
Norton.
Oh, okay. Art Carney is Ed Norton.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a great question. Mm-hmm. And I've asked a question, and we'll do it right now. Limey, death row, you're executed tomorrow. What do you want tonight? What do you want to eat?
My last meal.
See, I think that, first of all, I think it's stupid. Well, think about this. A guy is a mass murderer. Why are we giving this guy
a last meal?
Whatever he wants for dinner. It's just stupid.
Right. Just give him a PB&J.
It's like, well, we know you're the most horrible, despicable person on the earth, but we feel kind of bad that we're killing you, so how about a steak? It's just stupid. What would you want?
I don't know. I mean, thinking about that, like, a bunch of stuff he's got, like spaghetti bolognese, because I love that meal. So, you know, the last meal of your life, why not? But then, I mean, I'd order something like a 1 pound porterhouse steakhouse or something, you know? Like,
I don't think I could eat. I don't think I could eat anything. All I'd be thinking about is this going to hurt? That's all I'd be thinking about. What would you eat? Dan's on the phone. Tim, what would you eat?
I think I would eat fried chicken.
But not just any fried chicken.
No, I would want fried chicken, a peppery, breaded fried chicken, thighs. Thighs is my favorite piece. All thighs. And mashed potatoes and gravy, and corn, mac and cheese.
When they put a guy on the gurney, like the lethal injection thing,
right,
or in the electric chair, are they wearing diapers?
Do they still use the electric chair?
They just... Where did I read this?
I don't think there is any state that does it anymore.
I don't think so. Or they'll take the gurney.
Okay,
They have to be wearing diapers. Because you've got the most upset stomach you've ever had in your whole life. Mm-hmm. And then, when you are gone, it's called voiding. You just, because you have no control, your body is now just completely, so, and that's why I think they're wearing diapers when they take them in there.
I'd hope so.
Otherwise, you'd see stuff running down the table.
If not, then I'd eat something the night before. Like, if there were no diapers, I'd eat something the night before that would make my stuff stink the worst. You know? Whatever it is, just whatever the worst thing
is. Hey, how about an X-Lax sandwich?
I'm talking curry with a side of chili or something.
I'd want a cyanide salad. So they'd just kill me and I wouldn't have to go in there and let them do it.
Right. Well, I knew.
I know people have weird, different thoughts about suicide. But I had to go to prison, seriously, I think I might just kill myself.
I was just about to mention this. I don't remember what the guy was in court for, but he was, and you could see it on the surveillance video, that this guy is in a courtroom and he's looking at a long time in prison. Whatever he did, it was pretty bad. I think it had something to do with like investment fraud, and his life was just over.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you see his lawyer is talking to him, trying to reassure him. He reaches down into his briefcase and then starts putting his hand into his mouth.
I saw this.
He was...
He took like a cyanide capsule.
Yeah, he took a bunch of them like in the courtroom to kill himself. He's just like, nah, you know what?
And he had a seizure and died in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
I got one better. Last week, there was a story about a Missouri prisoner who is going through gender change...
Transitioning.
And we're paying for it.
And the legal fees associated with this prisoner's request to do this has cost the state of Missouri $300,000.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Whoa. Okay. Jeez.
So, of course, being the demented, sick guy that I am, I'm reading this story and I'm thinking to myself, now, if I had to go to prison for life without parole, and I knew I was going to be there for the rest of my life, and I'm straight as an arrow,
right,
sexually.
Right.
I specifically said it that way, and I saw your finger move, I did that as a team player for the show because I knew you were going to do it.
He took one for the team.
I set up the 10 pin for you to just hammer with the spare ball. Okay, okay. And you, I just want to let you know.
He sure fell for it.
Mm-hmm. Set up the 10 pin.
Yeah, for the spare ball.
I just got off the phone with the guy. He wasn't. Oh no. Are you finished?
No. All right.
Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Dan.
Tim usually isn't finished until about 6:15.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you knew you're going to prison for the rest of your life without parole,
right,
and you're straight as an arrow,
right,
would you go through sex change therapy?
The answer is
to get transferred to a female
prison? No. The answer is of course no.
Well, but hang this on guy's thinking. Hang on.
What is he thinking? Is he thinking they'll put him in a women's prison?
Yeah.
I mean, will they? I think they do. They will. Yeah, I think they do.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe exactly. This guy's not so stupid.
See? Now you might be onto something.
What this is kind of like? And I had this discussion with somebody this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I have thought about...
Like if
I were No, but if I were single, I've thought about pretending to be gay. Because women, even hot women... They're real comfortable around gay guys. They'll take a gay guy with them to try on bras, okay? And I would pretend to be gay and go, honey, let me go with you to try that bra on because so many women are wearing the wrong bra. Let me help you.
Just measure them with your hands.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like a cup?
Oh, I'm so glad. I feel so safe with you, Frank. I mean, Francine. I feel so safe with you.
Francine.
And that's sort of what this guy's doing. He's thinking ahead.
If he thinks that,
he's thinking ahead.
He'll be put,
But you see, he thinks he might be safer, but you go in there to those female prisons, they're just as bad as the men's.
There's some truck driving. There's some biker, trucker looking chicks.
If you like the tang and you're worried about the pole, I'm just saying, you're confined for life without parole.
Oh, and here's the other thing. By doing that, he goes in. I'm sure there's a lot of lesbian activity. Bring it on.
Yeah.
He'd probably go, I'm for that.
If you're a fan of the V, and you got to have that, and you don't want the other.
Well, now, if he was unable to become
a woman.
Yeah, now is that so? What's the cutoff?
Your penis. That's the cutoff.
But I mean, are you able to move into a female prison and still have your family jewels down there?
No, I don't think so.
You've got to get rid of all of it.
What Tim's talking about is the go all the way, full surgery, the whole thing.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that.
You might change your mind when you start thinking about what the boys are going to do to you in the shower.
It's the rest of your life without the possibility of parole.
Correct.
Correct.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. That's you might as well.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
No other show.
I really like
brings this kind of programming to the airwaves where we make you think. See, it's making people think. It is. Mm. Making them think. What if? What if? What if? I do it all the time. And I think about things I'll never probably ever have to face, but I still can't help but think about it. But the Stanger thing is a great example. And I think it's a great question. What do you do between now and Friday? I've never understood this business of giving somebody time to get your stuff together. To me, you're guilty, you did it, cuff him and take him off to jail. What is this show up Friday stuff?
Maybe it's just a sign of good faith.
Is that the sentencing date or has he already been sentenced?
But here's the deal. Poor people don't get that.
No.
You ever see an inner city guy who's been busted for whatever? The judge never tells him, well, Leroy, go home and get your stuff together. No. They don't get that. It's a certain...
There's a bailiff.
Yeah, it's a certain class of people who get to ankle bracelet for a few days and everything together. And then when it's convenient for you, we'd like you to go to prison.
Should we put on any money and see if Stenger's going to try and make a run for it?
No.
I don't think he would.
Because like this guy that ran that I just told you about, the car from the Pizza Hut, they gave him an extra 6 years.
Ooh.
I think I'd go on the car. Yeah. I'd start the car. Close the garage door. No, I'm serious.
He's got three kids. Or he's going to have three kids.
Yeah, right. And maybe the reason he won't take himself out.
Yeah.
Because he'd like to see his kids in 3 years.
Man, but that three-year-old's not even going to know him when he gets out. No. The baby isn't going
to
even know him.
They'll have visitation.
Yeah, they'll be able to visit.
His wife will hardly know him because he's going to look different and walk different when he gets out.
Well, he will.
You've been riding a horse?
Yeah.
Hey, they must have one of those Mustang programs. You're walking funny.
See, now,
Limey,
been in the saddle.
Now, Limey just kind of inspired me to entrepreneurially expand my horizons here. Now, you think about it. If you got a list of all the married women whose husbands are about to go to prison from anywhere from 2 to 7.
Hold on now.
Like a rent-a-boyfriend?
Now you got something.
Boy toy? Lease a man?
Consolation service? A consolement?
3 months? 6 months? 12-month contract?
Do we know what Steve Stenger's wife's name is?
Allison.
Allison Stenger.
No, don't. That's just getting too...
Oh, no.
That's just getting a little too direct and personal.
Yeah, but then still, if she...
We're speaking in generalities here.
Okay. My apologies.
But now... Tim just opened a whole other avenue of thought. Mm-hmm. Forget us going to prison. Let's forget that.
Right. Okay.
This list of women whose husbands are going to be gone for a long time. A service, and we could call it something comfort and consoling, where we check on them.
Comfort.
You know. Who is it? Is he still crying because her husband's in prison?
Of course.
It's the consoling and comfort service, man. We should make sure you're okay. And then if she opens the door and she's ugly, you just go, yeah, you're fine. And you leave. Oh. But if she's hot, you go,
God, that's terrible.
Is there anything you need?
I got the name for the company already.
What is it?
Ready? Ready? Wait for it. Ready? Stars Without Stripes.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
That's good.
Stars Without Stripes.
Or Scars Studs. Without Stripes.
Studs Without Stripes.
Well, they're not the studs, they're the wife.
No, but the name of the company that's delivering the service.
Oh, okay. I don't have stripes.
Hi, I'm Tim from Studs Without Stripes. How are you?
Stud Without Stripes.
Mm-hmm. And why would that be so wrong? Because, you know, in World War II, or any war, there are songs about it. Summer 42 was a movie about it. Husband goes away to war, lonely, young, pretty widow. She seeks out the...
Affection
and understanding and of someone who will shoulder to lean on.
My favorite part of that movie was when he went in to buy condoms.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
Summer 42.
No,
you should watch it. Jennifer O'Neill. Yeah, it's a great movie.
All right.
So, but what? Why would that be wrong to have a service like that? Two people benefit. There are two people. She's benefiting, and you're benefiting. You are getting some good loving, and she's getting some good loving, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the big deal? She'll feel better, and no strings, and
you got that whole moral.
Well, we hope there's no strings.
Dan, you know what, Dan? We know what that's a reference to, and that's disgusting. And that's it, period. Now. But then here's what you have to worry about. Now her husband gets out of prison, and comes and finds out, what's this? This paperwork on this comfort and consoling service. Who's Tim Woodburn? Who's this guy? And then you got a problem.
Right.
Yeah, you have a problem. So that's you have to think ahead.
Okay. Well, in the application process, you ask, what did your spouse go to jail for?
Oh.
And you say, like, you know, white collar crimes. Yeah, sure. Okay, not a problem.
You
not
beat
an
him
issue.
Up.
Fraud? Yeah, exactly.
You
see?
Can beat
murder.
Him.
Somebody that went to jail for fraud.
Murder and dismemberment? I'm not
out.
Messing with his wife.
Yeah, right. No, not doing that.
We've thought this out pretty well, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think we've got a business model.
I think we do. I really do. So whose Burke segment was this that
this
lasted
is Tim's.
An hour? Yeah. And at the beginning, he goes, this is quick. Worth thinking about.
I said the first one was quick. About David Solomon Weiss.
Ah, okay.
Right. That one was quick.
Anybody else for the Burke segment? It has been a whole week.
Nothing to follow that.
I guess I'll throw something in that kind of rides on the coattails of that.
First of all, thank your friend Nora. Is that her
Nora.
Name?
Nora
for
Favre.
German chocolate cake.
Yes.
Wow.
Nora's birthday was yesterday, and their daughter Karen's birthday was yesterday as well, along with mine.
Josh Bauman, I see him. Did he have some of this
cake? No, not yet. But he stopped and looked at it and came in, and I said, you have to try the German chocolate cake.
Some things you just have to try.
Yeah.
That's one.
It's incredible.
So, Dan, what did you have?
The thing that I had, someone just called in a little while ago, and he said that they share the same last name as Steve Stenger. And he has a family member that shares... Steve, the first and last name of Steve Stenger. And this person is an elderly person and has received hate mail now in at their home. And they ended up calling the police because it's like hate mail, and I don't know if it's become any threats or not, but hate mail to the wrong house and to the wrong person. So they're kind of scared.
Do you want to hear a really great true story? And this is not a joke. This is a true story, and okay. it's almost hard to believe it's true, but it happened. My dad was what they called a compositor. He worked in the composing room at a printing company where they composed and put together pages for books and publications, and he worked with hot metal type, and they put them in a galley, mm-hmm. and then they would roll the ink over a thing and proofread them, and then they'd go to press. It was a blue-collar job. And again, what I'm about to tell you is true, and it happened. And if it didn't happen, I want a bolt of lightning to split my scrotum in the middle and fry my testicles. No, I do. That's how true this is.
It's
got to
be true.
And you could hook me up to a polygraph. Because the day my dad did not talk. My dad was not a talker. He was very much an introvert. And he and I didn't have 10 real conversations my whole life. But he came home. He worked a night shift, and it was off Jefferson, downtown St. Louis. So the next day he comes home. He sits at the table, and he just starts smiling to himself. And you'd have to ask my dad to speak. He didn't speak. But for him, I knew something had happened that was funny. And so I asked him what happened. He said, well, now I knew he worked with a guy named Jesse James, a black guy, who's a co-worker of my dad's, Jesse James.
It's a cool name.
And I knew that. But it gets so much better than that. Jesse had locked his keys in his car at work. Young people, there was a time when you had to have a key to unlock your door. No, none of that stuff. So remember now, they get off work like at 1 in the morning. It's the evening shift. So they go out to their cars, and they all park in the same parking lot. My dad had a 62 Chevy Bel Air. I don't know what Jesse had, but he locked his keys out. So they go back in and find, I guess, the closest thing to a coat hanger to try to get in. And you know what I mean by that? You go through the top of the window and try to pull the peg up. Helping Jesse was another guy who worked there. This is the part where I am telling you this is true. John Dillinger.
Oh, no.
No. This is absolutely true. So Jesse and his friend, John Dillinger, are trying to get in Jesse's car, and up pulls a police car. Now, this is so good.
Oh, no.
And that cop's name was Joe Friday.
No, my dad is watching all of this because he's parked nearby. And the police officer pulls up, and then what are you fellas doing? Because they're trying to break into a car, but it's Jesse's car.
Right.
And they said, Jesse said, I like my keys. He asked for their names, and when they said Jesse James and John Dillinger, he put them in the police car. He didn't even. Oh, no. All right, smart asses. He just put them in the car, and while they're trying to explain, my dad said he just drove them off. Now, I'm sure when they got to the police station, they verified we are right. Jesse. That is one of the funniest stories I have ever heard in my life. My dad, years later, would bring that story up because the chances of something like, first of all, the chance of two guys working, and first of all, here, a black guy breaking in a car, sorry, right or wrong, downtown St. Louis, and then another black guy who's his buddy, and when you go ask their names and they go, I'm Jesse James, I'm sure you are, get in the car. Yeah, right. And I'm King Arthur. Let's go.
King Arthur.
Took him right to the police station. What a great story. It reminded me of that when you it's whatever the story you just mentioned. By the way, John did dig in John Dillinger's body up next month.
Are they?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. They're doing a documentary, and his family, requested that they exhume his body. I don't
know.
He
was shot in the back of the neck, wasn't he? Back of the head?
Coming out of a movie theater.
Yeah. What do they need to exhume it for?
I don't know. I don't know.
So, and wasn't he the reason that the FBI was created? Because to hunt him down and to cross state lines?
Could be.
I believe so.
What if anybody out there somewhere's name? They're a Capone family people named Capone.
Probably, yeah.
Who is cruel enough to name their kid, like Albert Capone.
Well, I mean, there's a person in Jefferson County, and their last name is Hitler.
Oh, that's, no, you know why? That's just bad. All the way around. You got to change your name.
I know,
you got to change your name.
They called up, and I saw the name on the phone register.
And they didn't want to name the kid, obviously, Adolf, so they named him Heil.
Frank.
I'm kidding. But I've heard that. There are people named Hitler.
Yeah, it's Hitler with two T's. I don't care.
No, I changed it. Hey, Dan, anything else?
No, that was it. Make sure that you have... First of all, you're not supposed to be doing that anyway, but make sure that you're going to harass someone like that, make sure it's the right one.
Yeah, no. I've heard of that. I've heard of that happening.
Dan's thought of the day then is research your hate mail before you put it in the mailbox.
Exactly.
That's a great
make sure you have the right
show.
Steve Stanger.
But just don't do it, period.
Anybody Limey? Nothing?
I got nothing to compete with both of those. No.
Compete? Well, we're not going to ask nothing. Josh Bauman because it's not his time yet. He's up next hour. We'll close the Burke segment. The Burke segment is officially closed.
He did have a piece of German chocolate cake, though.
We'll get his take on that when he comes in here in a little bit. There's, you ever see a TV show called Strange Addictions?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, they've got some weird people
I heard an interview with somebody who, I guess, produces the show or has some affiliation, and they were talking about some of the strangest people they've had on the show.
Is this like for people that will eat fabric or something like that?
Yes, except this woman, and it's not a joke, on a daily basis drank animal and human blood.
What the hell?
Yeah, blood. And she had all these reasons why, health reasons and iron and protein energy. And then she went into how she drinks it. She says, and I'm like, when I make a Bloody Mary, she says, it's like a real Bloody Mary. It's got blood in it.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. She put it in soups. She will make soups at home and put blood in them. Sometimes it's goat's blood or chicken blood. Sometimes it's human blood.
That's my ex-wife.
Her boyfriend, she draws blood from her boyfriend and drinks it.
Listen, we had, in the East Coast Hockey League in 1992, when I lived in Birmingham, Alabama, we had to ban a young lady who was about 22 years old because all the members of the Booster Club would bring these cakes and pies and dishes and stuff for because we went on these long bus rides, you know, 10 and 12 and 15 hours. And unbeknownst to any of us, this girl practiced witchcraft, and she made a, you'll love this, she made you were just talking about this on the air last week, she made a devil's food cake. And we found out later that she put drops of her
own blood,
not just any blood.
Not the monthly blood.
The monthly blood she put in there. Because she thought
this is not a joke.
No, we had to ban this girl. Because she confided to one of her girlfriends, and her girlfriend turned her in to my boss. And we had to ban her from ever
coming. They banned her and shipped her down to Tampa, Florida.
Sorry.
Tampa, Florida. Wow.
Yeah, that's. I didn't eat any of that. Devil's food's not my favorite cake, and I look at it.
The only job she could get was she became a the girl that checks people's coats when they come in, and a great big tall Texan came in. She said, "Can I take your coat, Tex?"
That's disgusting.
Oh my goodness! You know, it's one thing to drink blood, but that blood is.
I know.
Sorry, folks, but these are real people. These people actually exist and live among us.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
Now, the woman who ate the couch cushions, that was one of my favorite episodes.
Well, there's a name for the thing for women that eat, it's usually women, eat starch.
Really?
Like starch you starch your shirts with. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, no. That used to be
I think there was another woman who used to, like, eat or dip her fingers into, like, you have laundry detergent, but the powder form.
Yeah.
She used to that.
Yeah, I remember. And there's a name. It's compulsion is one name, where you just eat things you're not supposed to eat.
What is pica?
Oh, you know what?
Is that it?
Yeah, pica.
Is it, pica?
Is it a PICA? Head of research needs to look up. No, there is a condition called pica. You're right, and I think that may be what we're talking about.
What is it?
A pica. I think it's PICA. it's an eating disorder where you eat. Oh, one of the other ones they were talking about was this woman who would cut open stuffed animals and eat the stuffing.
Yeah.
What?
You have a lot of water to choke that down.
A pica is craving and chewing substances that have no nutritional value, such as ice, clay, soil, or paper.
Yeah, that's it. Pica. Huh.
Pica.
Hmm. Ice, clay, soil.
Yeah, we did. We closed the book segment.
I have no memory.
It's okay. I got you.
I'm glad I didn't do this. Was when I drove in here, I thought I want to spend a significant portion of this hour talking about these shootings and what happened. Okay. And I'm glad we got sidetracked because I don't think anybody tunes in to hear that. But if we have time later, there just is something I think we should all wonder about. And I don't know that we'll ever find the answer to it. And we'll maybe do that later. But right now, the only thing I want to do is this. For all the people who seem to want to trash talk the cops and hate the cops, and for that rap group NWA Niggas with Attitude who put out the song F the Police, and all the people over the last few years who have tried to add fuel to this fire of hate for police and give the impression all police are bad, am I the only one who found it almost beyond belief that in both of these shootings, El Paso and Dayton, the cops were there in less than 1 minute?
Oh, man.
And in Dayton, from the first shot, they dropped him and killed him in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Because they were on the street right there patrolling when it hit, when he started shooting. And they shot him in about 30 seconds, they said.
I'm pretty sure, not to be a know-it-all, I'm pretty sure it took the El Paso cops 6 minutes to get there.
I had heard as late as this morning in an article, and I don't know. Okay, 6 minutes. I had heard in both it was less than a minute, and Dayton it was 30 seconds.
Well,
in
El Paso, the kid... this is what is the strangest part of the story to me. He just stopped shooting after. Now, there's been two more people
because
die today.
He knew people were coming with guns, and no, he was a coward.
I'm saying he left the Walmart and then just got in his car and then just kind of like sat there, and the cops came up to him and he just got out unarmed and put his arm. He didn't want to try and shoot out with the police or anything. He just like had this moment of insanity, and then he just had this moment of surrender. And that's rare with people like this.
Well, cop haters, think about this. Let's take Dayton, okay, where they, thank goodness, they killed that guy. He killed, what, 9 people?
Mm-hmm. Including his sister.
In 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Including his sister. Yeah. In 30 seconds, he killed 9 people. Had those cops not dropped him in 30 seconds, would it have been 40 in a minute and in 80 people? I mean, think about that.
No, you're right.
So this is a case. Right. I wish... as much attention would be paid to cops when this stuff happens as it is when, on occasion, and it happens, a cop gets a little nutty and power hungry and goes after the wrong person and abuses them or mistreats them or beats them or even kills them. I wish that this stuff would get more attention. So that's all we'll say for now. Now, a little bit of business, and then Josh Bauman will be here right after we talk to John Landoff. If you have a technical issue, he's your guy. Problem, wondering about a purchase, he's your guy. So we'll give you the numbers to get him in here, as I said, right after the news and after John Londo. First Community Credit Union, I hope you enjoyed the yard sale, folks, last Saturday morning, because it is and always is brought to you. It was Saturday, too, by First Community Credit Union. It's the original yard sale, and they've been the sponsor of that yard sale for 5 years, 6 years, something like that. First Community Credit Union, as I've told you, is where... not only I do all my banking, but thousands and thousands of people. And every day, there are new people who become members of First Community Credit Union. And for anybody who thinks, it's all banking. A banking place is a banking place, and they all have checking and saving. Yeah, they do. They do. And most of them have a drive-through. Tim, I think you were telling me last week, I don't want to name the name of the place, but one that is eliminating drive through, right? It was a bank, right?
Right, a big bank here in town.
Wow.
And they have eliminated, and in fact, I another bank I just saw over the weekend, is opening a bank in St. Louis in which they have no tellers whatsoever, inside or outside.
Wow.
They just have people that can like sit down with you and discuss home loans and stuff like that, but the actual teller where you go up and, you know,
I think I'm not the only one who, on occasion, and with me is pretty regularly, likes to see a friendly face and actually talk to somebody who can help you with anything regarding banking. So here's my invitation to you. Why don't you join us and consider doing your banking at First Community Credit Union, and then you're going to find out why this has become the largest credit union in the St. Louis area with over 40 locations. Give it some thought. Great rates, whether you're saving or borrowing. A lot of services, nice people. It is just a great place to bank. First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. An FAA notice indicates President Trump will visit Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas on Wednesday. Those are the two cities which saw the shooting deaths of at least 31 people in separate incidents over the weekend. This morning at the White House, Trump said we must vow to act with urgent resolve.
Our nation is overcome with shock, horror, and sorrow. This weekend,